You are now listening to the Legends Lingo Podcast, presented by Student Union Sports. Here are your hosts, Al and Powder. Enjoy the show.
All right, everybody, welcome back in Legends Lingo Podcast, episode 210, presented by StudentUnionSports.com. Make sure to check out everything going on at StudentUnionSports.com. And by the way, real quick, just a little side ad right here. If you want to be a part of an ever-growing family and you want to be a part of something that's bigger than yourself, Student Union Sports is the place to be. Whether you're a writer or a podcaster, if you're in high school or college or beyond college and you're in your mid-20s to early 30s and you're trying to find a new career path, make sure to check out StudentUnionSports.com and DM any of the people that are a part of the website, Liam Smith, Hoppa, and some others. Again, go to StudentUnionSports.com, and if you want to be a part of the contribution team, make sure to send a message, and you can also DM them on Twitter at Student Union Sports. Alan Hegan here. Powder's here.
Sir.
So if you think that you might have missed an episode last week, we did. It was just Powder was very busy with work. I was feeling under the weather. Excuse me, I'm still feeling under the weather a little bit, but not as bad. It's slowly getting better day by day. It's just this time of year, Powder, where allergies are killer. The cough, I've talked to a bunch of people, and they can't get over the cough. It's so lingering.
It's so bad.
It is. So hopefully, hopefully my cough goes away. It's almost gone, but it's still it's still there. But it's basically, it's close to being gone.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, we have a lot to catch up on tonight. We're going to get through all four sports teams. Bruins have the trade deadline coming up. Celtics are coming off the All-Star break. Red Sox are starting spring training. There's always Patriots news we can talk about. Powder, pick the first topic, first team.
Let's go into one of the highs, the Celtics, after this All-Star game.
All right. So the All-Star game happened. Team Giannis versus Team LeBron. I believe it was Team Giannis that came away with the victory. I forget the final score. I think it was like 180 to 176.
Let me look. I can tell you.
Something ridiculous like that. But
184 to 175.
184 to 175. So 359 points in an exaggerated game of walk down the court, maybe give a brisk jog, and shoot threes all the time. Because that's all they pretty much did. Or throw yourself an alley-oop. You know, that's all they do. But your NBA All-Star Game MVP was none other than Celtics superstar forward Jason Tatum, 55 points. I believe he said 10 rebounds, 6 assists, and was the Kobe Bryant All-Star Game MVP. Now, why are we talking about this? Well, because a lot of people are making a big deal, Powder, out of absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. It's the All-Star Game. Think about this. Let's think logically for a second. The All-Star Game was what? On Sunday, I believe? Sunday night, right?
Yep.
You have Monday. You have Tuesday. You have Wednesday. You're not playing until Thursday. You get 3 days off, which never happens in the NBA or seldom does. Jason Tatum wanted to win the All-Star Game MVP because it was named after his idol, Kobe Bryant.
Yep.
Like, it's not that big of a deal. He goes out. He does it great. Guess what? It's a box checked off. So, okay, I'm like a multiple-time NBA All-Star. I got All-Star Game MVP. Now it's time for me. I got to an NBA Finals. Now it's time for me to win the Finals.
Yeah.
Let me just ask you, Powder, straight up. Do you care at all that Jason Tatum played 35 minutes in the All-Star Game?
No, because like you said, I didn't get to watch any of it, like we said, off-air. But I've seen enough NBA All-Star Games to know, like you said, just jog, walk up the court, score. No one's playing defense. So it's not like they're really being physical and he's going for a dunk and someone's going to try and block him and some freak thing can happen. People are giving you a lane to dunk in to show something off. So unless the most freak thing happened, then it's literally less than what a men's league is. Like, you could go in a men's league and be more tired than he probably was after this 35 minutes in an All-Star game.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. It was just a game where you walk down the court, maybe you jog a little bit. I think there was like one play where LeBron stuffed. I think it was like Ja Morant or Pascal Siakam or something like that. I don't know. I forget which one it was, but regardless, these guys don't care about the game. They care more about making connections. They care more about advertising themselves. Like Tatum came out with a new shoe that he was so happy about pregame and everything else. So, I mean, like, get the stick out of your you-know-what.
Yep.
And just enjoy the ride. Because guess what? The Celtics have 53 more games. They're playing the Indiana Pacers on Thursday night. Hopefully they come away with a win to kind of kick off the post-All-Star break on the right foot. And get off of Jason Tatum. Like, just let him play. He wants to play. If he wants to play, good. Especially in an era where it's all about load management and guys taking scheduled days off. I commend him for wanting to play, and I commend him for wanting to go out there and actually compete and perform. So if you truly are that sad about it, like, get over it. Like, it's over. It's time to move on. It's time to move forward. Speaking of moving forward, Celtics have 23 games to look forward to until the playoffs. So this is what I'm going to ask you, Powder. What is one thing that you want to see over these next 23 games, whether it's something with the team, something that they can add to the team, anything you want to see? What's one thing you want to see in these last 23 or so games?
I just want to see them. Obviously, I've been looking at the standings. They're conference-wise. They're going to make the playoffs. There's nothing to worry about that. But I kind of want to see them stay hot, try and keep the momentum going from the first half. Well, it's more than first half of the season. But before the All-Star game, try and secure that one seed and show that they're the best team in the East and they're going to represent the East in the NBA Finals. But it's also about staying healthy and getting the bench guys enough minutes where, excuse me, like we've talked about in the past many times, come the NBA Finals, it was like a 7-man rotation where some of the lower guys on the bench weren't getting time. You want those guys to get comfortable, get those minutes where if someone gets hurt in the playoffs, obviously we're praying nothing happens, but if someone gets hurt, some of the lower bench guys or people don't play as much will be used to playing some minutes and be ready to play in those big moments. So I think it's getting everybody on the team in a rhythm come playoff time.
I can see that. You want these guys to be healthy. The injury report came out. The only guy that was on the list was Danilo Gallinari, who was going to be out for the whole season anyway. So that's a really good sign.
Yes.
Because the starting five that they want, Powder, of Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, Robert Williams, they've only played like 6 minutes together this year as a starting group or something like that. It's crazy to think about. It's only the second game all season where all five of them are healthy and all five of them are starting together.
Yeah.
You don't see that very often, especially with a team contending for a championship. You just don't see it. So if I had to pick one thing really fast, I would say if they can add someone, add like a three or four that can kind of give you a little bit of rebounding, a little bit of shooting, play some decent defense for you. A guy like Will Barton, who just got bought out in Washington, he's an ideal fit, I think, and he's a guy that Celtics have interest in, and he has mutual interest in the Celtics. So maybe if you add a Will Barton, it's just another piece to deepen your bench, especially come the latter end of the playoff run in the Eastern Conference Finals and the – excuse me, in the NBA Finals. So if you can add that last piece to already go with your solid bench of guys like Malcolm Brogdon, Grant Williams, and Peyton Pritchard, and other guys, Sam Hauser, and, you know, et cetera, then you're really, really talking about being the most complete team in the Eastern Conference and maybe even the NBA. Mm-hmm. And yes, getting that one seed, like you said, very, very crucial, especially if and when you get back to the Eastern Conference Finals, because it's probably going to be Milwaukee that you're going to see. And if it's tied at three, you don't want to have to be in Milwaukee to win a game seven. You don't want that to happen. Get the one seed by any means necessary.
Yes, definitely.
Last little bit of Celtics news, and then we'll move on to some other things. Joe Mazzulla officially named the head coach of the Boston Celtics. The interim tag is taken off. I find it very funny, Powder, how this tag got taken off right before the All-Star game. Like, why wouldn't you have done it when the Celtics started out 21-5? Why didn't you do it after the season? Why was it right in the middle? Basically, 75% of your season is done, pretty much. But I think the main reason that they didn't want to keep this interim thing on him is because they didn't want Mazzulla to be looking over his shoulder, especially during the playoffs, if there's one bad game.
Yep.
And then, God forbid, if they get knocked out early in, like, the first or second round, wondering if he's going to be the guy, like, is he coaching for his job? Yeah. So no, he's not coaching for his job. He's officially the 19th coach in Celtics history. Ime Udoka is no more. He's gone. And I'm happy for Joe Mazzulla. I think that there's some things that he can do better, calling a little bit more timeouts, restricting the minutes in blowout wins for guys like Tatum and Brown. But other than that, Powder, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. 42-17, best record in the Eastern Conference, one of the best records in the NBA. You can't argue that Joe Mazzulla hasn't been doing his job, because he has been.
Yeah, definitely. He definitely deserves this. He's worked hard to get this position, and obviously the circumstances he got it probably weren't exactly what I wanted, but he'll take it. And like you said, the numbers speak for themselves. The Celtics are rocking. They're playing well, and he's leading them. And obviously, being a first-year head coach, you're going to not be perfect. You're going to make mistakes, but you learn from them. And let's see what happens come playoff time, if he has it in him to lead the Celtics into a deep playoff run. That's where we'll really see. But like you said, it's good. Now the Boston media can kind of stay off of him. Like you said, if they have a bad game, a stinker in the first round of the playoffs, even though it's just one game, then you know the Boston media. You know they'll be making those comments, asking those questions. All the talk radio will be, oh, he's not. He's just interim. We need Ime back or whatever. But now that he's officially the head coach for the future, it just probably has him rest easy at night.
Definitely easy to rest up when you have the best team in the NBA. You're competing for a finals. And I'm going to say this, Powder. I'm going to go a little further with what you said. It's not just about a deep playoff run. It's about getting back to the finals and winning the finals this time. Because this window, you realize in sports, these windows close very, very quickly and they shut tight.
Yeah.
The Celtics probably only have a couple years to really be NBA championship contenders. And especially this year, where they started out so hot. Yeah, they started out 21-5, and ever since they were like 21-12, something like that, like right in that area.
Yeah.
So you need to make sure that you take care of business rest of the way, get that one seed, give yourself an easy first round matchup, and I'm putting that in air quotes, easy, against a team like the Hawks, or, you know, just a struggling team, maybe like the Wizards. I don't know if they're even in playoff contention right now, but regardless, get the easy first round matchup. Then in the second round, you're going to have to deal with probably Philly or Cleveland. Take care of business then, and then you're probably going to face Milwaukee. And if you don't face Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals, that's a blessing.
Yeah.
You take that every day and twice on Sunday.
Definitely.
Any other Celtics tidbits before we move on?
Just real quick, want to shout out Jaylen Brown for having the most points on Team LeBron. Just showing, I saw this a little bit on Twitter, but I think the Celtics are showing they are the best duo in the NBA right now.
Oh, yeah. Jaylen Brown is a stud. Hot take. I think Jaylen Brown is a little bit more consistent than Jason Tatum. In the sense of, Jaylen Brown will get you anywhere from 20 to, like, you know, 28 every single game. Then he has his big games of like 30, 35 and the occasional 40 and up.
Yeah.
Tatum, he has some really good games, but there's some games he really struggles from the floor. Like, we're talking 14 points, 12 points. Like, low, low numbers.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say the consistency piece. Tatum's, I think, the better scorer.
Yeah.
But Brown just has that level of consistency to him that I don't think people realize that Tatum still needs to get.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, it's fun to watch the Celtics. They win more often than they don't. It's great to see. And that's a no-duh statement, but they win a lot.
Yeah.
And they got 23 games to take care of business before hopefully 16-win playoff run in them.
Yep.
All right, let's stick with Boston winter teams. Let's do the Bruins really fast.
Yep.
So, Powder, we're going to play a game called Guess the Bruins Record. I'm going to give you – so the Bruins have played 56 games this season out of an 82-game season.
Yep.
I want you to tell me what their – or give a good guess as to what their record is. Keep in mind, it's wins, regulation losses, overtime losses. Yeah.
I know we saw it recently. I want to say – how many games you say they played?
56.
56. I want to say they're 46-6-4.
Pretty good. That's a pretty good guess. So they have 43 wins, 8 regulation losses, 5 overtime losses for an NHL best 91 points.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I would say that's pretty good.
Pretty good. The Bruins are an absolute buzzsaw. Yeah, they ran into that little pre-All-Star game kind of funk where they lost like two or three games. Like they lost to the Capitals. They lost to the Hurricanes. They lost to the Panthers. They lost to the Lightning. Yeah, they had that little skid. But guess what? Ever since then, they beat the Stars in overtime, shut out the Predators, beat the Islanders by 4 goals, and beat the Senators 3-1. But they do have a big 4-game road trip coming up at the Seattle Kraken, at the Vancouver Canucks, at the Edmonton Oilers, at the Calgary Flames. So, Powder, this is the one question I want to ask about the Bruins. The Bruins are away. We know that. Is there anything, similar to the Celtics, is there anything that you want to see from them the rest of this season before they get into the playoffs? Like, do you want to see a piece added? Do you want to see just something within the team?
Like, it's hard to complain or say they need to fix it X, Y, and Z when they're playing some of the best hockey ever. Like, I've seen so many things. They've broken so many records on their season so far, quickest or tied for quickest or second quickest to so many points through this many games or whatever. So it's hard to say, but then again, the probably easy answer, and I'll go for the easy answer, is staying healthy. Just keep your stars healthy. Keep Bergeron healthy. Keep Marchand healthy. Just keep the guys healthy so that come playoff time, they can have that deep playoff run where their whole first three lines are healthy and they're playing well at that time. So biggest thing I think is health with the Bruins.
Yeah, they need to stay healthy too. A guy like Jake DeBrusk, who just came back the other day, he needs to make sure he's healthy. Got older guys like Marchand and Krejci and Bergeron need to make sure they're ready to go. And by the way, you need to re-sign David Pastrnak.
Oh my God, so bad.
I think, and this is a bold take, I think Pastrnak not re-signing with the Bruins and leaving will be worse for the city of Boston than Mookie Betts was leaving the Red Sox.
Oh, I agree.
I think that would be a travesty, and I think Don Sweeney would get run out of town.
Yep.
Pretty much. The one thing that I'd like to see them get another defenseman, because they have some good pairings, like with Lindholm and McAvoy. Trent Frederick's had a really good year. Matt Grizzly, good most of the time, sometimes has some bad slip-ups, some bad turnovers in his own end of the ice. But there are a couple names that are out there, Powder, that are really enticing. A guy like Luke Shen for the Canucks, 33-year-old. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent, but you can probably get him for cheap. The big name that's going around is Vladislav Gavrikov, 27 years old, from the Columbus Blue Jackets. Oh,
you can't pronounce that.
Yeah, I don't know how I pronounce that. I think that sounds right. Shane Gostisbehere from the Arizona Coyotes. That's another name out there. Ethan Bear from the Canucks. Justin Braun from the Flyers. Like, there are some names out there. If the Bruins stayed put, I wouldn't be too upset. Just continue to do what you're doing.
Yep.
Continue to dominate. They're one of the best third period teams in hockey. They kill the power play very well. They score on the power play pretty well. So if you have a lead, you have two of the better goaltenders this season in Linus Ullmark and Jeremy Swayman that can hopefully get you through the playoffs. Now, I know the big thing with the Bruins is the postseason. They've won one cup, that cup in 11, and they had two other chances to win, and they failed.
Yeah.
But you got to get it done, and I think this is the team to get it done. By the way, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter. Did you see Adam Jones of WEEI said that, asked the question if the Bruins should consider trading Jeremy Swayman?
I did not see that, no.
Yeah, that caused an uproar.
Oh, I bet.
That caused a major, major, major uproar within the Twitter sphere and just social media in general. But Adam Jones is a troll anyway. So, oh, yeah. I mean,
definitely is.
We're not even going to bother with that.
Yeah.
But Bruins are looking really good. Hopefully they can make another move. The NHL trade deadline is March 9th. So as we're recording on February 22nd, it's in a couple of weeks, 2.5 weeks. So there could be another Bruin or two when we record within the next couple of weeks. So make sure to be listening for that.
And I'm going Bruins game a week from tomorrow.
Hey, enjoy the game. Do you know who they're playing?
They're playing the Sabres.
Oh, that's going to be a good game. Zach Jesiero, if you're listening, Powder's got tickets to see your team, buddy. All right. Let's move on. We still got to talk Red Sox. We still have to talk a little bit of Patriots. Before all that, Powder, want to give us a word about our good friends at A&B Kitchen and Bar?
Yep, who I just, right before I got on the recording, made a nice reservation before the Bruins game. So we can go A&B Kitchen and Bar before we, before me and my fiance head over to the game. So like I say every week when I'm on, A&B Kitchen and Bar is located in Boston, Massachusetts, right across the street from the TD Garden. So it's very convenient for me to just head over there, have a very good bite to eat, whether it's a burger, it's a different kind of dish, it's a traditional New England pub, but it's elevated take on it. So they have meatloaf, they have pasta, they have all the good stuff, and they have very local organic beer, wine, soda, everything you can ask for. It's a great atmosphere. It's going to be so much fun. Come next Thursday when I'm going right for the Bruins game, it's going to be rocking. Everybody's going to be in their Bruins stuff. And then head right over to a Bruins game or a Celtics game. And when you guys head over, make sure you tell them the Legends Lingo boys sent you.
Great place, great atmosphere, incredibly nice people. Just a good time.
Yep.
A&B Kitchen Bar, both in Boston, Massachusetts and Beverly, Massachusetts. All right, Powder, Patriots, Red Sox. What do we talk about next?
Let's go Red Sox and end with Patriots.
All right. So the Red Sox have started spring training, and there's a couple headlines that I kind of want to hit on and just get Powder's opinion. We went more in depth with this. I went more in depth with this on the Fenway Franks and Tanks podcast, which is myself, Zach Jesiero, and Kevin Perdios. Make sure to check that out, rate, and subscribe to that as well. Shameless plug, I know. So with this Red Sox team, there's a couple angles here. The first I want to talk about is John Henry. What a clown that dude is, huh?
Yep.
Like, I need a second to collect myself. Hold on. Okay. John Henry did an email exchange with the Athletics' Jen McCaffrey, former Legends Lingo guest, Jen McCaffrey. And in that email, Jen McCaffrey was allowed to ask four questions. One of them was, what's the perception of the team after being booed at winter weekend? Now, I'm going to paraphrase here because I don't have the exact quote in front of me. But basically, what John Henry said was, he didn't get booed at Fenway Park at the Winter Classic when the Bruins played the Flyers or the Penguins. He thought that there were cheers in the section, like at Winter Weekend, and he thinks everything's hunky dory. Like, does this guy live in a fantasy land, Powder? I don't know.
It's hard to tell because I couldn't imagine how he, unless he's just trying to. Maybe now at this point, he's just playing the role of who he is and he thinks that's his public perception. But I couldn't imagine he had to have known he was absolutely roasted at the Bruins game. And then even at Winter Weekend, which obviously we want to go to, just didn't work out. But
right.
But you had to know he has to know he got booed at both those events. Like it's he has to know what his perception is like. Yes, I know he's a billionaire, like he probably doesn't care what people think about him at this point because he has more money than any of us will ever have, but I feel like you should care about your sports team. If you own it, if you don't, then sell the team.
There is literal documentation on social media of John Henry getting booed. Like, we saw it on Twitter, we've seen it all across the internet. And not only that, he is just so out of touch with this team that it's laughable. I mean, Sam Kennedy went on the Inside the Monster podcast with another former Legends Lingo guest, Steve Peralt, and Joey Capone. And literally, Sam Kennedy went on and said, yeah, we got booed and we deserved it because of what happened. So you have one side of ownership saying that one thing happened and another side of ownership saying the opposite happened. Like, why are there different stories? All they have to do is just be honest. If they said, we're going to go in a different direction, we love Xander, Like, it stinks that he's going to go, but we have a youth movement that we really are confident in. It's like, okay, at least you're telling us exactly what you're thinking. None of this like, oh, he's a top priority, then he goes to another team, which happened. So it's stuff like that that drives me absolutely insane. It really does. Like, he needs to know better, and he needs to start talking to media, because if he doesn't start talking to media powder, he's going to become, if he's not already, he's going to become the most disliked owner in all of Boston sports.
Yes, definitely.
But there's a couple, there's one tidbit that's good, and then another tidbit that's going to be more on the negative side. Let's do the positive one. Alex Verdugo supposedly joked with ownership, said that he wants an extension here in Boston. He said it was a joke, said it lightheartedly, but guess what? You're not saying that comment if you really mean it.
Oh, yeah.
You're not. Let me just ask you this, Powder. So Verdugo is an unrestricted free agent after the 2023 season. What would be the years and dollars that you would give Alex Verdugo if you are the GM of the Boston Red Sox? Because I have a number in my head.
I'm looking up what his stats are real quick. Just so I have a basis of what I'm going to say.
It was like 280, 11, and 75.
Yeah. So he played in 152 games. So he's consistent. He's playing in almost a full... He missed 10 games. That's what players do nowadays. 75 runs. 39 doubles, which is pretty good. 11 home runs. Strikeouts could go down a little bit to make that. Obviously, it's under 100, but still having 42 walks, 86 strikeouts. I would like that to be a little closer to 50-50, like even. But no, I like Alex Verdugo. I think he's a very good piece. I think he fits the Boston media and just a personality perfectly. I would probably give him. He graduated high school same year I did, so I know how old he is. I would give him probably 4 years. 4 years between 80 and 90 million. So just around $20 million a year. I feel like that's a going rate for a little bit above average player. I wouldn't give him $25 million a year. I don't think he's worth that much, but I think to keep him, I think you have to pay him around 20.
Wow. You would give Alex Verdugo $20 million a year?
Yeah, because I think that's, I think players are going to start getting that even at his caliber.
That is quite a take. I did not expect that to come out of your mouth. But that's why I love it. It's great. So I'm going to disagree with you on the number. I'll give you the years. 4 or 5 years. I'll take 4 or 5 years. And I said this on Fenway Franks and Tanks, so I have to keep it consistent. Give him anywhere from 10 to 15 million a year.
Yeah.
I'll accept that. Because I don't think that he's been the player that Red Sox fans have been hoping for. Not that he's going to be a star.
Yeah.
But you would have liked, like you said, the strikeouts to come down a little bit, the power to come up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that, the defense to be a little bit better. If you go anywhere north of 15 million, I'm letting him go.
Yeah.
Because I think you can get better. I think there's some outfielders that are going to be free agents next year that you can capitalize on for lesser value, but still get good production.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, okay. So for me, like a 5 for 70, I think would be good. Excuse me. Give him 14 million a year. Backload the last couple years and then see where his production takes him. Include a couple opt-outs, couple player options, like a third-year player option, stuff like that. But I think 5 for 70 is appropriate for Alex Verdugo.
Yeah. I think he's in a tough spot because of his whole situation where he came in. I think he would have to be win MVP every year, hit 40 home runs a year, hit 330 every year and be the best defender in his position to really satisfy people, because obviously he's replacing Mookie Betts, who has a chance to be a Hall of Fame player and all that. And I think he's in a tough situation where I don't think he'll ever be appreciated.
He is in a tough position. That'll give you a fair point about. That's 100% valid. Because when you get traded for a generational superstar, because that's what Mookie Betts is with his five-tool ability. He won championships here. He won a championship with the Dodgers. He can hit leadoff. He can even hit three or four if you really need him to. So
and he's an MVP candidate every year. Like, he was in the talk for National League MVP this past season, for a lot of the season.
Right. So, again, tough position. But I think that he really needs to have a big year. And even Alex Cora said, Doogie's the one that needs to really step up this year. So the manager knows it. I think ownership knows it. And I think the fan base knows it too.
Yes.
So if he comes back, great. If not, I'm not going to be too upset.
Yeah.
Final Red Sox topic, starting pitching. Two starters went down with injuries early. Brian Bayo had, I think it was forearm stiffness. Nick Pivetta was sick. It turns out it was COVID. Are we worried about the simple question, Powder? Are we worried about the starting pitching heading into 2023? I'm answering that with a resounding yes, because you have two guys that have barely pitched over the last 3 years, another guy that's being converted from a reliever to a starter, another guy that has had arm problems in Garrett Whitlock, a guy that's Jekyll and Hyde in Nick Pivetta, another guy that's trying to basically go through his first full year in the big leagues in Brian Bayo, and another guy that doesn't go through the lineup twice, more than two times, in Tanner Houck. So I'm worried about the starting rotation. I really am. I know there's depth there, but there really isn't. So I don't know. Convince me otherwise.
I don't think I can convince you otherwise. It's obviously a spring training. Like, forearm stiffness doesn't scare me too much because it's spring training. He obviously, all pitchers throw all winter long. Like, that's how they stay healthy. That's how they keep their arm strong and everything. But they don't really truly ramp it up until now. So he's obviously probably hasn't ramped up like he is right now. So that's probably why he has some forearm stiffness and everything like that. So that doesn't worry me too much, but obviously, the inconsistency of the Red Sox rotation, the health concerns, all that. I can't really convince you differently than how you feel, because I feel the exact same way, and I'd be lying to everybody if I tried to say anything different.
Last really quick question.
Yeah.
Red Sox over under 77.5 wins. You taking the over or the under?
I would take the over because I think they could squeak out 80 wins. I think they could be right. I don't think they're above 500. If they get above 500, they're one game over 500. But I think I would take the over just because you're going to play some weaker teams. You're going to get some wins. It's baseball. But I could also see them having 65 wins and just completely crap in the bed and being awful this year, but I would take the over.
Okay, Rodgers got the over. I feel like a lot of Boston Red Sox fans have the over. And if you're not a Red Sox fan, everyone's taking the under.
Yeah.
All right.
What are you taking?
I took the over. I did take the over, responsibly.
Yep. Sportsman's legal in Massachusetts.
It is, and it's soon to be mobile, so that can mean one night we're on the couch watching the Celtics, we see something good. Little live bet. Bing.
Yep. That's one thing I've never gotten into, and I'm trying not to get into.
Oh, good luck with that, pal.
Yeah.
Good luck. Final topic. Patriots. Couple little tidbits here, and then we'll kind of get out for the week. This was kind of, I don't want to say it was a quick show, because it's definitely not quick.
Yeah.
But these are topics that we're just kind of flying through.
Yeah.
But Matthew Slater's returning.
I love that. Absolutely Yay. Love that.
So Matthew Slater announced over the weekend that he will be returning for his 16th NFL season. So I have an odd take on this, Powder. I like it, but I also don't like it. I like it because it's Matthew Slater. He's a Patriot through and through, a leader in the locker room. He's a Belichick guy, so he knows the way of excellence. He's won 3 Super Bowls here. But I don't love it, too, because that shows me that they didn't have Slater's replacement ready. Like, a guy that can lead the special teams, a guy that can get it done.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at. Like, I love the fact that Matthew Slater's back, and I think he makes your special teams better. But at the same time, you need to add around there, add to the special teams, and you need to get rid of Cam Acord. You need to. He needs to go. Put Joe Judge back on the special teams where he was successful. And then you'll really have a solid coaching staff from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Because the offense is fine with Billy O and his guys. The defense is fine with Gerard Mayo and Steve Belichick. The special teams needs a makeover. Matthew Slater helps, but it's like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound.
Yeah.
Thoughts on Matthew Slater?
Oh, sorry. But yeah, definitely having Slater back is just huge for the locker room. Like, you knew obviously it's going to be tough for him to walk away. This is his life. He loves it. He's just, like you said, Patriot through and through. When you look up Patriots in the dictionary, I think him over almost everybody, because he just shows you, not only is he a good player, but he's so good in the community, so good just all aspects of life. So he is just someone that the Patriots need in locker room. I could see him eventually becoming a coach if that's something he wants to do, because I think just him being a leader, he could be really good for that. But yeah, like you said, he probably was talking with Belichick and saying, okay, what's the plan for next year? And Belichick's like, probably said something and got him to come back, because obviously Belichick knew he needs him for the special teams. But yeah, I agree with you, Cam Acord. You just need to get him out and get someone, get good Joe Judge or someone better in that position to really take over the special teams and make that special teams, because it was the worst it's been since I started watching Patriots football. It was just mistake after mistake on special teams.
It's pretty ugly to watch, especially the last game of the year when you're letting up two kickoff returns for touchdowns. That's
in a must-win game.
In a must-win game, exactly. That's never a good look.
No.
But if you can get some pieces around there, get some guys that can actually contribute to the special teams game with guys like Matthew Slater and guys like Brendan Schooner. I forget how you say that. But get a couple guys around them, you'll be in good shape.
Yeah.
All right, two other bits of Patriots news. And so one bit of Patriots news, and then a hypothetical question for you, Powder, and then we'll kind of wrap up for the week. So Burt Breer, rearing his ugly head again. He's not actually ugly, but just like the Patriots pessimism, saying that the Patriots could be looking to explore trading Mac Jones. But then Tommy Curran of NBC Sports comes out and says, Mac's the starting quarterback in 2023. So why do I say both reports? Because this leads to my question to you, Powder. In 2023, would you rather trade Mac Jones for, say, like a first and a second, and then get a quarterback, and I'm just going to throw a name out there, like Jimmy Garoppolo or Derek Carr? Or do you keep Mac Jones for 2023, build around him, hope he does well, and then if he does well, you move on with him, and if not, you start to consider moving on from him? Which option are you taking?
I mean, I still don't think his price, getting a first round pick for Mac Jones, you might, because obviously he's a quarterback, but that might be tough. But the only one, obviously I like Derek Carr. He has a very good arm. He's a good quarterback, but I'd take Jimmy G just because he knows the system more than Derek Carr. But I think just giving Mac Jones another year, you're finally giving, obviously he had Josh McDaniels, so I'm not saying he finally has a good offensive coordinator, but he's getting good offensive coordinator in this year. He had a very good year under Josh McDaniels, had not as good of a year under Matt Patricia, because Matt Patricia obviously is not an offensive guy, was not the right guy for the job. Now he has Billy O'Brien. I would say give Mac Jones one more year with a good offensive coordinator that's really going to teach him, really going to work with him, really going to try and get him better. He's going to give him a good playbook to really see what he can do. So I think you give him at least one more year and see what he can do. Because, hey, he has a good year, but you're not really winning a ton, but he's putting up numbers, stuff like that. I think his trade value goes up. And then maybe you can get something good for him, and then now you go and get a different quarterback.
For those people that want Mac Jones traded, I think you have a huge poo in your pants.
Oh, 100%.
You really do. This guy had a really good rookie year. He was named to the Pro Bowl. I know it might have been a little, you know, ridiculous, but he was an alternate and he got on.
Yep.
And then the second year, you have two bozo coaches that don't know how to coach offense. I don't care if you're Patrick Mahomes. Maybe Patrick Mahomes is extreme. I don't care if you're a guy like Kirk Cousins or Jimmy Garoppolo or something like that. If you're in that offense, you're not going to succeed.
Yep.
Where it's quick screens, dink and dunk. Like, I know the Patriots are great at the dink and dunk offense, especially when Brady was here. But that offense, like trying to run like off the tackles, everything, it wasn't Patriots football. This isn't the system that we've seen for 2+ decades.
Yeah.
Like, you need to really figure it out. Give Mac a third year. If he does well, you can move forward with him. If he doesn't, no harm, no foul. Then you can go and look for your quarterback elsewhere. Yeah. Decline his fifth-year option, have him play for his fourth year, and then move on.
Yeah.
That's fine. But give the guy a chance.
Yes, 100%.
Truthfully, Powder, I think it was because Bailey Zappe came in and he played well.
Yeah.
In the starts that he had. Credit to Zappe. He played well. But if he doesn't play well, nobody's having this conversation right now.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Like, if Zappe came in, crapped the bed, did awful in all that, then everybody would be like, yep, Mac Jones for the future. Mac Jones.
Or even just like, or if you're not going to say that, at least be like, okay, we have to go outside the organization to find someone. Yeah. Don't tell me that Bailey Zappe is going to be better in this offense.
No chance.
I don't think so. Like, he was good at Western Kentucky or wherever he came from. He played well in the starts he had last year. But guess what? Mac Jones is going to be your quarterback for 2023 unless a major trade happens, which I don't see happening. But in order for Mac Jones to be successful, Powder, and this is going to segue into our last topic beautifully, you need to be able to throw to a number one receiver.
Yep.
So here's what I'm going to do, Powder. I'm going to give you the names of four wide receivers, and I want you to tell me which one you want out of the four and why. Here we go. DeAndre Hopkins, Brandon Cooks, Keenan Allen, Deebo Samuel.
Oh.
Pick one and tell me why you want him.
I want to say DeAndre Hopkins, but I'm going to go Deebo Samuels because he's played with a quarterback similar to Mac Jones and Jimmy Garoppolo, where he's not a superstar quarterback, but I think Deebo will – I think he would be a great fit for this offense. I think he will fit the mold and be that number one receiver the Patriots want. And I think, like I said, he played with Garoppolo. Obviously, they're different, but I think they're similar in their play styles. So I would go Deebo Samuel.
Took the answer I wanted. I'll tell you what. I think it would take the least amount of picks and everything to get a guy like Brandon Cooks, but you worry about the injury history.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins is 30 years old. He's coming off a PED suspension, injuries. There's questions about the work ethic and the relationship between him and Bill O'Brien. So I don't know how realistic that's going to be at this point. Keenan Allen intrigues me.
Yeah.
Because he had really good years with the Chargers. He's a big body that can go up and get the football. If you told me right tomorrow that the Patriots would sign Keenan Allen, I'd be on board with it.
Yeah.
If I can't have Deebo, who Debo's my number one choice, but if I can't have him, give me Keenan Allen.
I like that.
I'll take any of the four of them, truthfully.
Yeah. But, oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, again, you need a wide receiver. Go get one. Like, you're going to take care of offensive tackle, whether it's in the draft or free agency. Like, Taylor Lewan is a free agent. Now Tennessee cut him, so he's on the market. Mike McGlinchey, I think, is going to be on the market from San Francisco. You re-signed Connor McDermott to like a 2-year deal, so there's some depth. So again, they're going to take care of tackle. You need to get a number one wide receiver. You just have to. Devontae Parker's not it. Kendrick Bourne's not it. As much as I like Kendrick Bourne, maybe Jacoby Myers could be it if they re-sign him. Tyquan Thornton's still a project. So there's a lot of questions there.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. But I think that's it.
Yeah. I think we covered a lot.
We did cover a lot tonight.
Yeah.
Celtics are going to roll out of the All-Star break. Bruins are rocking and rolling. Red Sox are rocking and rolling in spring training. Patriots rocking and rolling with, you know, all the rumors and everything else.
Yeah.
NFL free agency starts in a couple of weeks, so that's going to be fun.
Yeah, that's going to be a good time.
I think the Patriots are going to make a surprise splash or two.
That'll be fun. That'll be good.
Probably on defense.
Yeah.
But still will be fun.
Yeah.
And by the way, just a little, I don't want to say this is breaking news, but it's interesting news that's happened within the last hour. Denver Broncos have interviewed Matt Patricia for their defensive coordinator job under Sean Payton.
Interesting.
Yeah, and also Rex Ryan and Vance Joseph are also thought to be finalists for the job as well. So if Matt Patricia goes to Denver, bye-bye.
Yep.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out. No. What's the phrase I'm looking for? I'm getting tired here.
Yeah.
No hard feelings, Matty P. That's what I was trying to think of. As always, rate and subscribe to the Legend Single Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, and everywhere else where you can download your podcasts. Again, check out studentunionsports.com. If you want to get involved in the sports writing or just general writing game, feel free to DM Student Union Sports on Twitter, Instagram, and everywhere else where they are present on social media. For Tom Powder Cadmus, the ever handsome Tom Powder Cadmus, I am your host, Alan Nahegan. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week for episode 211.
Yes, sir.